Morning, we do return to our series in Nehemiah entitled Rise Up and Build. And we've talked about a lot of things thus far. And today, as we come to this third chapter, God teaches us a very valuable lesson. And if we can recap for a moment, Nehemiah, of course, has gotten a burden from the Lord, and he has made the journey from where he was to Jerusalem, and he has inspected the walls, and he's gone around and he's addressed the people, and now he is getting ready to build. He, if you remember the last time that we were together, he was facing off the adversaries, and he stood firm. He didn't allow them to discourage him from the work, and now they are preparing to build. And as we look here in the 32 verses of chapter 3, God does teach us a very valuable lesson about building, and he teaches us a valuable lesson about life. And that lesson is that we must work together if we're going to see anything accomplished. I've never seen a great business. I've never seen a great corporation. I've never seen a great church. I've never seen a great ball club that ever accomplished very much that didn't work together. One of the things that you hear talk about in athletics all the time is chemistry. This team may not be as talented as another team, but this team has a great chemistry. That's just a way to express that they work together one with another towards a common goal. And as we look here in the third chapter of Nehemiah, what we learn from Nehemiah and the men and women who are trying to labor to rebuild the walls is that they worked together. And so this morning I want to talk to you for a few moments about what I call the partnership of building, and how you and I, if we're going to see God do a work in this church, then we have to follow the same pattern that they set forth here in this third chapter of Nehemiah. If you'd like to take notes with us this morning, the first thing I want to talk to you about is the importance of participation. Number one, let's talk about the importance of participation. And there's two real emphases that I want to make about the importance of participation. The first one is the value of participation. The value of participation. Now, Nehemiah comes back to Jerusalem, and he comes with a decree from King Artaxerxes, and he tells the people that what God has sent him to do. He says, we've got access to the king's forest, and now we can build, and we can see God do this work. He said, I've assessed the walls, and we can do a great work. But as I shared with you a few weeks ago, Nehemiah may be the one who was credited for centuries with his name being recorded down in Scripture. Nehemiah may be the one that people would say, well, Nehemiah came back and rebuilt the walls. But the reality was, that's really not a true statement. Nehemiah alone didn't carry every brick. Nehemiah alone didn't mortar every joint. Nehemiah was just a figurehead, if you would, to try to lead the people. It took the participation of the men and women of Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of the city. And as we think about this partnership of building, you can't really put a value on participation. Have you ever heard the expression, many hands make light work? The reality is the more people we have working on something, the faster and the easier it is for us to accomplish something. And Nehemiah understood that. If you look through, and we're not going to take time to do it this morning, but if you look through this third chapter, there are 38 individual leaders that are named throughout this chapter that are involved in building. There's actually 15 different groups of people who were involved in building, and there are literally thousands of individuals. So you can see very easily that there was a tremendous participation of the people that were coming together, rallying around to do this work. And as you and I think about participation in the church, it's vital that we have more and more people involved in what's going on. If you say, you know, I'd really like to get involved in this church, and I just don't know where to do it, then you come talk to me. I promise I can find four or five things that we'll get you to do. You'll be so busy, you'll say, whoa, preacher, I didn't want to be this involved in the church. But it's important that all of us are involved. I heard a pastor long ago say that the goal of a church is that every member would be a minister. And I think that's a great philosophy and a great goal to shoot for. The church today is not in need of more spectators. We're in need of more participators. And the reality is, and as we look here in Nehemiah chapter 3, the people of God participated in what was going on. We not only see the value of participation, but I want you to notice a second thing. Secondly, this morning, I want you to see the variety of participation. Secondly, I want you to see the variety of participation. As we look through this chapter, there are seven different vocations that are mentioned throughout this chapter. Seven different professions things that people worked at that were laboring to build. If you look here in verse number 1 of Nehemiah 3, it says, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate and sanctified it." The first profession we see is the sheep. The priests. The sheep weren't doing a whole lot, all right? They didn't help build. But the priests did. And so the first vocation that we see is the priests. And the priests were there. Well, priests weren't by nature builders, but priests were to labor in the temple. But yet here they are, they were building. If you look further down in verse number 8 of chapter 3, it says, "Next unto him repaired Uziel, the son of Harahiah, the goldsmiths." So here we not only have priests, but in verse 8 we also have goldsmiths. People who were working with gold, and they made different jewelries and they made other different tools and different things of that day. Further on in verse number 8 you see down at the end of the verse it says, "Next unto them also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries, and they fortified Jerusalem under the broad wall." So we have priests, we have goldsmiths, we have apothecaries, and there's four other different professions that are mentioned. But what I'm trying to get at is this: there were a variety of people from all kinds of different backgrounds that came together to accomplish one singular goal. If you look down here in verse 12, it says, "Next unto them repaired Shulam, the son of Halahesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem." Now watch this last part: "He and his daughters." See, this isn't just a work for men to do. It's a work for men and women to do. It's not just a work for adults to do. There's a work for children to do and young people to do. There was a variety of people with all kinds of different professional backgrounds. There was a variety of people of all different genders. There was a variety of people of all different ages, and they all came together to work. I don't know how many of you have ever been involved in a building program or been involved in building a house, but if you ever are, you know that there is one company that is given the responsibility to say, "Well, so-and-so is building this house." So they're generally just the general contractors. They're the overseers. But to build that house, you have to have graders, you have to have carpenters, you have to have plumbers, you have to have electricians, you have to have HVAC company. You have all these different subcontractors, and they're all specializing in different areas. But you've got to have every one of them to come together to get the finished project of your building, whether it's a commercial building or whether it's a residential building. And so what I'm simply trying to tell you is this: participation is vital. Your participation in this ministry and in this church is valuable. And we have a variety of backgrounds. You have a variety of talents. You may not be just talented in one area as somebody is in another area, but that doesn't mean that you're any less important. The reality is, it is vitally important that all of us are participating if we're going to see God build the work that He desires to build in this place. And so the first thing we see is the importance of participation. But I want you to notice the second thing this morning that we learned from this third chapter. Secondly, this morning we learned the importance of location. Secondly, this morning we learned the importance of location. Nehemiah was a wise leader. And he was an excellent and an intelligent planner. And one of the areas that we see that in is where he placed his workers to work. When Nehemiah assigned his work, he did so in a way where people were working near to their home and where they were working near to the gate or the area in which they worked in. Let me give you two examples of that to try to further illustrate what I'm trying to tell you. The first thing we see that is in the priests. The first group that we see here in verse number 1, it says, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even under the tower of Mia, and they sanctified it under the tower of Hananiel." Now, here's what's important about that. I told you earlier that the priests worked with the sheep. The priests were responsible for overseeing the sacrifices, and they worked in throughout the temple. And as you think about it, I want to show you this little illustration. As you see where the sheep gate is, if you look over here, it's right, if I can get my clicker to work, it's right here. This is where the sheep gate was. This is, of course, a diagram of all the wall that they're trying to rebuild. But here's the sheep gate. Now notice in what close proximity the sheep gate is to the temple where the priests would have been working. It wouldn't have made sense for the the priests who lived near the temple and whose homes were near the temple and who worked in and close to the sheep gate, it wouldn't have made any sense to put them down there working at the dung gate or working at the fountain gate. I'll be honest, I don't know who would want to work on the dung gate. That was the last straw that anybody got to draw. But regardless, that's why you ought to be early. You know, you want to be in first in line so you don't get one of those last jobs. But regardless, here we go. The priests were working at the sheep gate. Why? Because it made most logical sense. If they get up, they had a short distance to travel. It was a place where they worked. And you know as well as I do, because they worked there, because they lived close to there, they had a personal vested interest in trying to make that gate look well. They wanted it to be sturdy because it was close to where they were. We not only see that in the priests, but we also see it in a second group, a group called the Nethinims. The Nethinims, look down in verse number 26 of chapter 3. It says, "Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, under the place over against the water gate toward the east, and the tower that lieth out." Now, that's a verse that if you're reading in your devotions, you'd read over and think, well, didn't get anything out of that, Lord. But there is actually something there that God can teach us. And what he teaches us about that is this same principle of how Nehemiah placed workers in an area that was close to where they were. The Nethinims were descendants of the Gibeonites. Now, you may not be familiar with this, but in Joshua chapter 9, the Gibeonites came when the children of Israel were coming in trying to conquer over Canaan. The Gibeonites came in and they deceived the children of Israel to make them think that they were a different group than they were. And they made a league with the children of Israel so that they wouldn't conquer them. Well, in Joshua chapter 9, verse 27, Joshua made them hewers or carriers of water. So when you read this word about this group of people called the Nethinims, they were descendants of the Gibeonites whose responsibility was to be carriers of water. Say, preacher, what are you trying to get at? Well, what I'm trying to get at is this. If you go back to this diagram, they worked at the water gate. Is that not what the Bible says in verse 26? It says in the heart of the verse, over against the water gate toward the east. Well, why would the Nethinims work near the water gate? Because they were carriers of water. You understand? And so location, as you think about the participation of building, where you work is important. And know for all you comedians, Watergate is not short for the Nixon gate. And some of y'all hadn't even thought about that, had you? But regardless, here's the point we're trying to make about the importance of all of this. As you and I labor together, it's important that you and I labor in an area of ministry where we're passionate. Sometimes people get involved in serving, and they get involved in serving in an area they're not really talented in. They get involved in serving in an area that they have no passion in, and they get burnt out really quickly. Ministry is so much easier and more enjoyable when you're serving in an area that you love. If you're somebody who loves children and working with children, then you need to work in the children's church. But if you're somebody that loathes children and you hate the sound of their voice, you hate their energy, and when you see one, it makes you want to cross the street, children's church is probably not the place for you. If you're somebody who loves to sing and you like to sing and you're talented in singing and you love music, then you should be a part of the choir. But if you can't carry a tune in a bucket and you know you can't carry a tune in a bucket, then probably singing in the choir is going to be awkward for you. So what I'm trying to say is this. You need to participate in the church. But it's not just important about you participating. It's about you finding an area to minister in that you are passionate about and that you enjoy. And then it becomes different. And then you begin to serve God out of desire instead of serving Him out of duty. Does that make sense? And that is what Nehemiah understood. And as he began to build the wall, he began to place people in an area that there was close to where they were, in an area that was close to where they worked, in an area where they were passionate about. And that same principle is true in church. Well, let's notice the third and final thing, the sweetest words in the Baptist church, right? The third and final thing this morning we'll see is the importance of collaboration. The third thing we see this morning is the importance of collaboration. We've seen the importance of participation. We need to be participating. It's valuable, and there's a variety of different talents and areas that people can serve in. It's important that we understand our location. We've got to be serving in the right area. But thirdly, this morning, we need to understand the importance of collaboration. Collaboration simply occurs when two or more people work together to achieve a common goal. And as we look here in this third chapter, that's what we see. And this is really the crux of what I want you to take home with you today and understand about this third chapter. And there's two things I want you to understand about the importance of collaboration. Number one is that it is essential. It is absolutely essential. You can have a lot of people participating in something. You can have a lot of people located in the right areas. But if there's not collaboration, if those people aren't working together towards a common goal, you're never going to accomplish anything. Collaboration is essential if we're going to see God do something. The rebuilding of the walls was an absolutely huge undertaking. The circumference of the walls, the perimeter around the walls was somewhere around 2.5 miles long. So you can imagine what a tremendous undertaking it was to try to rebuild that. You say, well, Pastor, you keep preaching about this collaboration. How do you know that these people were working together with one another? How do you know that they weren't griping and complaining and fussing and cussing at one another about this, that, and the other? How do you know? Well, I want to point out to you how we know that. There's actually two expressions that we find repeated continually in this third chapter. The first one is an expression, next unto him or next unto them. Let me point it out to you. Look here in verse number 2. Verse number 2 of Nehemiah chapter 3 says this. Now they've just told in verse 1 about the priest rebuilding the sheep gate. Verse 2 says, and next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zachar, the son of Imri. We look down in verse 4. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, and the son of Meshezalabah. Man, those are some difficult words for a country boy. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Baanah. So we see this expression, next unto them, next unto him. We actually see that expression occur 15 times in this chapter. Here's a person working. Beside them, here's another group working. Next unto them, here's another group working. Next unto them, here's another group working. We read on and we see another expression that comes, and it's the expression after him. Notice what it says in verse 20 of Nehemiah chapter 3. In Nehemiah chapter 3, it says, verse 20, it says, after him, Baruch, the son of Zebiah, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Elisha the high priest. Verse 21, after him repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, another piece from the door of the house of Elisha, even to the end of the house of Elisha. Verse 22, and after him repaired the priest, the men of the plain. Verse 23, after him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house. After him repaired Azariah, the son of Meshiah, and the son of Ananiah by his house. Again, we see after him. 15 times we saw the expression next unto him or them. 16 times we find this expression after him. 31 times in 32 verses we find one of those two expressions. What that tells us is this. When Nehemiah and the people went back to rebuild the wall, no matter where you went, you could look this direction, or you could look this direction, and all you saw was people working side by side, shoulder to shoulder, with one another on their piece of the wall. That's how we know that there was great collaboration with these people. No matter which direction you look, they were all working together on their part of the wall. Collaboration is essential. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with us? Well, what they did is our example. What they did, it is our example. The way we see the people of Nehemiah rebuilding this wall is a picture of how our church and churches in general should be working to accomplish the work of God. They should be working side by side, one with another, participating, working together towards one common goal. There were no hidden agendas with the people working on the wall. There was no fussing. There was no fighting. There was no negative or bad attitudes. There's nothing like negativity to kill and quench the spirit of any group. Doesn't have to be a church. It can be a basketball team. It can be a football team. It can be a business. You throw somebody with a negative attitude who only sees what's negative in a group of people, and they will destroy the joy of that group. And the same is true in a church. But you didn't have that with Nehemiah's group. I'm not saying that they were all bosom buddies. I'm not saying that they were all best friends with one another. But what I'm saying is that they realized together, hey, look, we've got a huge wall to rebuild. And then one way we're going to get it rebuilt, that's to work side by side with one another on our wall. And you and I today have a great responsibility. We have a responsibility to take the gospel to the men and women of our Jerusalem, the men and women of Union County, the men and women of Western North Carolina and Eastern North Carolina and Central North Carolina and the Southeastern United States. We have a responsibility to be a shining light in the darkness of this day and age. We have a large task. Not only do we have the task of evangelism, we've got the task of trying to equip and to try to train men and women who come and know Jesus Christ as Savior. And there's only one way we're going to get that accomplished. And that's for you and I to be just like them, working side by side, shoulder to shoulder with one another towards one common goal. I was so proud of our church family this week during Vacation Bible School. It was great that we had all the kids here and all the different families here, but what was so great was the workers. I watched the workers, and everybody worked together just like this. And as I was studying later on in the week, I said, Lord, this is exactly what we've been doing this week in Vacation Bible School. You had some people who taught. They did their role. You had some people who were assistants. They kept the kids from killing each other and tried to keep the teacher sane. You had some who were looking over administrative things and running the overall worship rallies and making sure the money was counted and keeping everybody in line. You had others who were working in the kitchen who got here early in the afternoon who were preparing and baking and serving and then cleaning up. You had others who were working in crafts and they were getting here laying everything out and making sure they had all the stencils just right and all the paint just right for all the different groups and all the age groups. You had some who went out and set up the recreation and all the different things that they were going to play so when the kids came, they were there. You had some who drove the van and who could take other kids home and pick them up. But no matter where you were working in Vacation Bible School, our goal was all the same, to try to teach those little babies about the Lord Jesus Christ and to try to help them know that we can enjoy serving Jesus Christ and that it is a wonderful thing to know Him. And as they went from one station to the next station to the next station and then they all rallied back together, there was collaboration. There wasn't anybody that I heard that was griping, saying, well, except for me. I had to teach the teens, and I went to everybody and tried to get them to let me teach somebody else. I said, you want to swap? You want me to teach the nursery so you can teach the teens? I'm just kidding. We had a great time with our teens. But regardless, I didn't hear anybody over there getting ready to teach them. I can't believe they got me in here teaching this group. I don't like this group. They're too snotty. They run around. They're wild. I didn't hear anybody in the kitchen going, well, I wanted to work in crafts, but I guess I'm not good enough to work in the crafts. All I can do is go in here and bake stuff and make stuff and chop stuff up. I guess one of these days, maybe I'll get to a spiritual level, they'll work in the crafts. I didn't hear any of that. Everybody went and did their job. That's what a church is supposed to be. But you know what? It shouldn't just be that way on Vacation Bible School week. It's supposed to be that way every week. Working together, where we come together and we're working side by side, trying to do the best job we can do wherever it is that God has placed us. And so this morning, as we think about the partnership of building, just like Nehemiah's people worked to rebuild the walls, you and I have a responsibility to be working to try to reach people and to try to train people. And we serve a great God who wants to do a great work in this place, and may I say, is doing a great work in this place. But you and I need to partner together. And we need to be working. We need to make sure, number one, that we're participating in the work. that we're actually laboring in the work, that we're seeking out an area that is interesting to us and that we have a burden about to try to help. And it can be anything. It can be from singing, it can be from trimming hedges, it can be to cleaning toilets, it can be to anything. There is no big job and no little job in the eyes of God. It's all just His work. We've got to make sure we're participating in the work, but then we've got to make sure we're participating in the right location. But the most important thing is as we participate in our location, we've got to make sure that we're doing our part to be a part of the collaboration of what's going on. Where we're doing our part, we're lifting our stones, we're chiseling out and we're mortaring our stone, our portion of the wall, our portion of the gate, and we're doing it to the best of our ability. And beloved, if we'll do that, then we'll see God rise up and build a great work in this place. May God help us to be involved in the partnership of building. Let's bow our heads in prayer.